Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. When the Iran-Contra hearings resume on Capitol Hill this morning, the focus will again be on possible financial gain by Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. Deborah Potter reports.
The witness this morning has been officially identified only as a Mr. Lewis, and while committee members say he himself is unimportant, he does have a significant piece of information. He's believed to be attorney David Lewis, who knows about efforts by businessman Albert Hakim to get money to Oliver North. Hakim was the banker for the Iran-Contra affair, who revealed yesterday he put $200,000 in a secret Swiss account for North without telling him.
I cannot recall having ever told Colin North that I have set money aside for his family's benefit.
Hakim will be back at the witness table later today, and he's expected to be questioned more closely about his business partner, Richard Secord. Hakim already has disclosed that he put more than $1 million from the Iran arms sales in a secret account for Secord, who has vigorously denied any interest in profit. Deborah Potter, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
There could be a connection, however tenuous, between the PTL sex and money scandal and a political corruption case unfolding in Washington and New York. The New York Daily News reports federal investigators are looking into the possibility that money from the WedTech Corporation was funneled through a member of the PTL board. One possibility being examined, whether that money was used to buy the silence of former church secretary Jessica Hahn about her tryst with PTL founder Jim Baker. There's no indication WedTech officials knew that Hahn might be the eventual recipient of the money. Yesterday, New York Congressman Mario Biaggi was indicted with his son and five others for allegedly extorting money to help WedTech get government contracts. Attorney General Edwin Meese is also under investigation in that case. Ohio Governor Richard Celeste, a potential Democratic candidate for president, has refused to confirm or deny published allegations he's had affairs with three women. But Dagmar, his wife of 25 years, says she stands behind him.
The best thing about love is an ability to forgive.
Mrs. Celeste refused to say just what it is she's forgiven. An Arabian prince and a top American official are discussing security of the Persian Gulf region in the south of France. Doug Tunnell reports.
Secretary of Defense Caspar Weinberger's motorcade rushed past a crowd of reporters at the Nice airport this morning and made its way along the famous Côte d'Azur of southern France to a pale villa by the sea, where Weinberger is now meeting with a prince, his Saudi Arabian counterpart, Defense Minister Prince Sultan of the Saudi royal family. The American administration is seeking more Saudi help in defending the Persian Gulf. Weinberger is expected to explore the options with Prince Sultan today. The Saudis have long resisted any U.S. base agreement that would allow American soldiers to operate on Saudi soil. But the Pentagon now needs to provide air cover for an expanded U.S. fleet in the Persian Gulf, and Saudi Arabia's air bases are well situated for just that task. Among the dozens of Saudi princes, Sultan is considered to be especially friendly to America. He has overseen billions of dollars of arms purchases from the United States in the last 10 years as Saudi Arabia built its own military presence in the Gulf. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Antibes in southern France.
The Reverend Leon Sullivan, who authored Fair Employment Guidelines for American Companies Doing Business in South Africa, now says it's time for those firms to pull out altogether. Peter Honey has reaction in Johannesburg.
South African Foreign Minister Pip Boerta rejected Leon Sullivan's disinvestment call and said it would not be in the interests of either the United States or the workers of South Africa. Boerta said Sullivan was suffering from a persecution complex, and he said South Africa would not allow itself to be threatened in this way. The American Chamber of Commerce expressed its disappointment that Sullivan had abandoned his 10-year-old code of employment for American companies operating in South Africa. A spokesman for the country's largest trade union federation, COSATU, said it favored any intensification of international pressure on Pretoria. Sullivan's statement had very little impact in South Africa. It might have been because yesterday was budget day, and most organizations were more concerned about the government's 40% increase in defense spending. Peter Honey for CBS News, Johannesburg.
New Zealand's parliament today passed legislation enshrining into law the Labour government's 3-year-old ban on nuclear-powered and armed warships and aircraft. It formalizes a policy that ended a 35-year security alliance with the U.S. The British government is cracking down on Iran. Anthony Mason reports from London.
Britain today closed the Iranian consulate in the northern city of Manchester and ordered five Iranian diplomats to leave the country. bringing to a head a sharp dispute with Tehran over a British diplomat who was beaten and held for a day in Iran a week ago. Britain had accused Iran of trumping up charges against Edward Chaplin, 36, the diplomat who was abducted for 24 hours last Thursday. And Britain repeatedly expressed impatience at Iran's failure to explain its intentions in the case. The top Iranian diplomat in London, the chargé d'affaires, was summoned to the Foreign Office this morning and told the news. On leaving, the chargé d'affaires said Britain misunderstood the situation and had overreacted. But he added that Iran may now have to take some retaliatory action against Britain. Anthony Mason, CBS News, London.
Five Indian Air Force transport planes flew over Sri Lanka today with fighter escorts and dropped food and medicine to Tamil civilians in the war-torn Jaffna Peninsula. Yesterday, Sri Lanka blocked an Indian sea lift effort, saying the relief supplies weren't needed. Almost a year after the cocaine death of an All-American athlete, a jury has acquitted one of his friends. WTOP's Jamie McIntyre reports from Upper Marlboro, Maryland.
For 24-year-old Brian Tribble, the not guilty verdict was the end of a year-long ordeal.
I'm so overwhelmed right now, I really don't know how to explain myself, and I'm just glad that the system didn't fail me.
Tribble was charged with possession and distribution of cocaine, including the coke that ended the life of Maryland basketball star Len Bias a year ago. Prosecutors were shocked by the outcome, especially because Tribble's attorneys did not contest the fact that Tribble, Bias, and two other Maryland players snorted cocaine the night Bias died. Prosecutor Robert Bonsib.
It was our position and it is our theory that he was involved in a continuing course of drug dealing. I say that without trying to take away in any way the jury's verdict.
Tribble's attorney, Thomas Morrow, said the trial was a whitewash and the jury saw through it.
To call him a drug dealer is ludicrous.
Tribble still faces a possible obstruction of justice charge for removing evidence from the scene. Jamie McIntyre for CBS News, Upper Marlboro, Maryland.
Louisiana gubernatorial candidate Noel Butch Baum, found dead in the wreckage of his light plane on a farm near Shattuck, Oklahoma, may have lost consciousness more than an hour before the crash. The plane overshot its Louisiana destination by more than 500 miles and may have been on autopilot until running out of gas. The dollar rose in overseas trading today. The price of gold declined to the $450 level. And on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is ahead 1.25 points at 2321.91. Big board volume, 22,410,000 shares.